New York, where the American stage begins, NBC presents Best Plays, transcribed with John Chapman. A series of hour-length dramas selected from the outstanding successes of the New York stage. Now, John Chapman, editor of the theatrical yearbook Best Plays and drama critic of the New York Daily News, is here to introduce Cyril Richard and Sally Forrest in Samson Raphaelson's Accent on Youth. Mr. Chapman.
Ah, those good old days of the theater when critics really worked for a living. I'm talking about 18 years ago. On Christmas Eve that time, there opened a comedy by S.N. Behrman. On Christmas night, there were four openings the critics could choose from. And not all of the boys picked the right play. Walter Hampton opened in Hamlet. Old Bill Brady offered a review at his playhouse, Fools Rush In, which had such young upcomers as Imogene Coca, Richard Wharf, and Leonard Sillman. At the Ritz Theater, there was a drama called Piper Paid. All these had short runs. The hit of the evening was the play we are going to do tonight, Samson Raphaelson's comedy about show people, Accent on Youth. It got into the Best Plays book, and it had a nice long run with Constance Cummings and Nicholas Hannon in the leading roles. Accent on Youth remains a witty play, and we have two very attractive leading players. Sally Forrest, a rising young star, plays Linda. Cyril Richard, who is so good this season with Katharine Hepburn and Shaw's The Millionaires, is the playwright Stephen Gay. Now, if I might join you, I'll take it easy in a chair and just listen.
My name is Frank Galloway, and I suppose I might best describe myself in the words of Stephen Gay, the playwright, as a rather elegant actor in the neighborhood of 60. At any rate, I was that age when our story began. It was a day in October a year ago, and we had gathered in Stephen's apartment to read the manuscript of his latest play, Old Love. There were in the room, besides myself, Miss Darling, an actress of about 50, and Dickie Reynolds, an athletic, youngish-looking actor of about 26. Oh, yes, and Linda Brown, a young lady of 25, who looked like a secretary, was a secretary, as a matter of fact. Linda was talking on the phone.
He's taking his afternoon nap, Mr. Benham. He should be up shortly, though. Yes, Miss Darling's here, Mr. Reynolds and Mr. Galloway. Well, they're still reading it. Haven't said a word yet. Yes, Mr. Benham, I'll tell him. Goodbye.
Well, Miss Brown, you can tell Stephen Gay that I adore his play.
Did you finish the whole play, Miss Darling?
Oh, no, Mr. Reynolds, I just read my own part. You see, I'm not in the third act at all.
How do you like your part?
I think it's Stephen Gay at his best. And it's such a comfortable part. I can be myself, a decent, old-fashioned woman.
That's what I like about my part, too. Just the word, comfortable. Everything I have to say sort of comes natural. Miss Brown. Miss Brown, you've read the play, I guess.
Yes.
Well, I haven't got to the end, but I get the girl, don't I?
Oh, yes.
Well, who plays the girl?
Genevieve Lang, I believe.
Oh, boy, that's impressive.
My husband comes back to me, doesn't he?
No.
No?
No.
But he must. It's not a comedy if he doesn't.
It's not a comedy, Miss Darling.
Not a comedy? Oh, how long have you been with Mr. Gay, my dear?
3 years, Miss Darling.
Then surely you know Stephen Gay writes nothing but comedies.
Nevertheless, Old Love is a tragedy.
I think Old Love is a funny title.
It might be to you, young man. It's not if you're my age.
Have you finished reading the play, Mr. Galloway?
Miss Brown, I wish you to tell Mr. Gay that I have read his play from cover to cover, and that I have never been so grossly insulted in my life. Good afternoon.
Oh, Mr. Galloway, wait! Mr. Gay will be here in any moment. After he talked to you about it, you'll thank him for the greatest role of your career.
If I played this thing, my career would be over. I've played butlers in my day, tramps, murderers, and fools, but never a lecherous old man.
Lecherous? Well, how can you say that? He's a glorious, courageous man standing just this side of 60, surging under the last rhythmic leap of youth in his blood, rebelling at convention.
Hello, everybody.
Good afternoon,
Mr. Gay.
Well, my friends, have you read the manuscript?
It's a superb tragedy, Mr. Gay. I love it.
Do you really?
Particularly my part. It's such a new attack on the old character of the mistreated wife.
Hmm. And you, Dickie? How do you feel about the part of Freddy?
Oh, Mr. Gay, it's the best comedy part I've ever read. Well, that is for me.
Comedy?
Well, it's supposed to be a comedy part, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. Galloway, what do you think?
Well, I can't quite... The old fellow puzzles me. I suppose I'm stupid.
No, you're not stupid at all. The old fellow puzzles me, too. Please go on.
Well, take that love scene in the first act, where he tells the girl what she means to him.
It bothers you, does it?
A little.
Yes. Well, I was just rereading it in my bedroom. It bothers me a lot.
I think it's beautifully written.
So do I, Dickie. I think that's the best writing I've ever done.
Oh, I'm not criticizing the writing. I just wonder if I... well, you know, after all, I am 60. In fact, I'm a little over 60. And me making ardent love to a young girl and frankly admitting that my wife has never done an unjust thing in her life.
Mm. I agree with you, Galloway.
On the other hand, there is a poetic something in the play. And if a man can catch it with a high heart, with grandeur...
Yes, that's what I thought when I wrote it. I'm 51 myself. I can smell 60. And when you're 60, you're an old man. Personally, it doesn't terrify me. I had a great time, but... if I behaved like that fellow, I'd consider myself an idiot. You see, I tried to catch the poetry of a man facing old age. I tried the impossible. Poetry is young, or it's no good. But I'm getting my doubts. You see, it all depends on the actor who plays the part. If he can catch the imagination of the audience...
I've played Shakespeare, you know.
And very well, too.
Thank you. I think I'd like to try it.
Good.
I'm beginning to get what you're after.
Galloway, I'm an awfully clever fellow. I talked Benham into liking this play, the shrewdest producer on Broadway.
That's fine. Then you can talk the audiences into liking it.
That's not so easy.
It's worth trying.
Stephen Gay's first tragedy.
Frank Galloway, at the height of his maturity, experiments with a new value.
Hmm. How is Mrs. Galloway?
Fine.
Haven't you got a couple of children?
Three. The youngest is 24.
Well, take a script home with you. Read it to the family. Sleep on it. And you do the same, Miss Darling. Read it to your,
I live with my sister at the moment.
Good. Well, read it to her. And, Dickie, take it down to the tennis club and get some of the boys in the locker room to listen. See what red-blooded young America thinks of it. And then in a day or two, well, let's get together again and see how we feel about it.
I'm sure we're going to love it.
Goodbye, Mr. Gay.
Goodbye. And thank you all.
A few minutes later, after he has given Linda some dictation, Stephen is alone in his study. He sinks back on the sofa and starts lighting a cigarette, when the butler enters and announces an attractive, smartly dressed young woman. As she enters, Stephen tries to unscramble himself from the sofa.
Now, don't get up, Stephen.
But
just
I had no
stay as you are. Lie back and smoke and let me look at you. And don't say anything. Oh, what a nice room. And the nicest time of the day. And pretty soon I may ask for a cup of tea, but just now I'm going to enjoy the view and the books and the furniture and the second nicest man I ever knew.
Hello, Genevieve.
Hello, Stephen.
Who is the first nicest?
I knew him 4 years ago. His name was Stephen Gay. What made you think of me for this part, Stephen?
Frankly, it wasn't my idea. It was Benham.
But you consented?
Well, why shouldn't I? You're a remarkable actress.
Thank you. It's a remarkable part.
But?
Don't you dye your hair a little, Stephen?
Yes. Can you tell?
No.
Pause.
What?
I said pause. I was mentally writing this scene, wondering when the plot would enter. Genevieve, Whatever happened 4 years ago, anyway?
You broke my heart. I was insane over you.
And I was absolutely mad about you.
I don't believe it.
We were all set to go to Paris. I had my steamship reservation.
And I had mine.
We were to meet at midnight on the boat.
Right.
And at 10 o'clock, as I'm doing my last bit of packing, I get the most hilarious idea of my life.
You mean a play idea?
Well, what other kind is there?
Go on.
All right. If I didn't write it then, while it was hot, I'd never get it down. Now, I'm not temperamental, but there is such a thing as inspiration. Well, what happened when you got my message?
I jumped into the ocean and never was seen again.
Well, it's all over now, isn't it?
Completely. Stephen, you really were a very attractive man.
What's the matter with me now?
You're nice.
But not as nice as I was then, eh?
Well, you're 4 years older.
And so are you, my dear.
When you're 4 years older than 22, you're still a young woman. But when you're 4 years older than 49, that makes you 53.
And revolting.
Of course not, Stephen. You'll never be revolting. But after all, 53 isn't quite the age to make a girl's heart go pity-pat.
Well, speaking impersonally, as an elderly man of the world to a young woman of the world, at what age would you say a man ceases being, well, just where would you draw the pity-pat line?
Roughly, at 49.
I see. Tell me, are you going to do the play?
I'm afraid not, Stephen. It's really not my dish of tea.
What are you going to do? Wait for another play to come along?
Maybe. Or I might just go away.
Where?
Anywhere. I'm mildly insane, didn't you know? Oh, thanks. 2 years ago, I suddenly just had to see South Africa. Allow me to inform you that South Africa is beautiful.
Did you go alone?
I started alone.
Have you ever been to Finland?
No.
Neither have I, but I hear it's amazing. Full of blue eyes and green trees and yellow flowers.
And in the winter, the air is so dry you can walk naked in the snow.
Let's go to Finland.
What about your play?
I hate the play.
Stephen, will you kiss me?
Why?
I want to see what it would be like.
Well?
Do you really mean that about Finland?
Passionately.
Do you expect me to believe that I or any other woman could make you hate your play?
Of course not. Of course not. I knew the play was all wrong before you came.
Stephen Gay, I don't believe you.
Will you believe me in Finland?
The Ile-de-France leaves tonight.
Fine. We can change to Southampton. What time does the Ile-de-France sail?
10.
Got your passport?
Always.
Can you be packed by 10?
I can try.
You're lovely. Kiss me. Okay?
Marvelous.
Heart go pity-pat?
You fiend. You devil. So, you were play-acting. Just to prove that a man past 50 could be...
romantic. Did I do it well?
You had me fooled.
No, not really.
Well, couldn't you see?
Yes. But after all, you're an excellent actress.
Goodbye, Stephen. Believe it or not, I was ready to go to Finland.
Genevieve, this is absolutely preposterous. But I'm dying to go to Finland with you, on my word of honor.
As a playwright?
No, as a gentleman.
I'll get the tickets. I'll go right back to my hotel. Excuse me.
Yes, Linda?
Your 5 o'clock pill, Mr. Gay.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome, Mr. Gay. I must rush. I'll telephone you. Au revoir.
Auf Wiedersehen. Logger.
Yes, sir?
I'm leaving for Finland tonight.
Very well, sir.
Isn't it exciting?
Very, sir. This time of year, you'll find the climate still mild in Finland.
Logdor.
Yes, sir.
I shall miss you.
Thank you, sir. I'll pack your things.
Good. Linda?
Yes, Mr. Gay?
Get Mr. Benham on the phone, will you? No, better not. He'll talk my head off. Take a letter. Got your pad?
Yes, Mr. Gay.
Dear Bill, when you get this, comma, I'll be on the Ile-de-France on the first lap to Finland, period. Forget old love, dash, and save yourself a lot of headaches. Period. Nobody cares about that old fool. Anyway, I'm quitting. I'm going to live. Where was I?
Nobody cares about that old fool anyway.
On second thoughts, Linda, kill the letter. I'll send him a radiogram from the boat. And Linda, you're discharged with my compliments, my gratitude, my affection. Now we'll have to give you a nice present. Now, what would you like most in the world?
Nothing, thank you.
Oh, come, Linda. I'm serious. Like a car, a trip to Europe, maybe a trousseau? Haven't you got a boyfriend?
No.
Now, don't be silly. You're a fine-looking girl. You'd make any man a splendid wife. Tell you what, write yourself a check for 6 months' salary.
The amount you owe me is $41.65 here.
What's this?
A check for the correct amount. Today is the fourth day of the week. My salary is 60 a week. 4 days makes 40, and I paid $1.65 for that parcel post package yesterday.
What's the matter, Linda? What have I done?
Nothing's the matter.
But you're angry.
No, I'm accurate. You've discharged me, haven't you?
Well, that's not quite the way to...
Yes or no?
Yes.
Now we're through, aren't we?
Look that way.
You're no longer my employer.
No.
And I'm no longer your secretary?
Right.
We're two human beings together.
Yes, Linda.
A man and a woman.
A man and a woman.
Well, before I say goodbye, I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that the 3 years and 2 months I've spent with you have been the most wonderful, painful, happiest years I've ever had or hoped to have. You hardly knew I was on Earth, but well, you've given me more than you could have given your wife or any other woman or your friends or your audience.
But Linda...
I had you when you were alone. You've spoiled every other man I knew for me. You did that in the first month. I don't think I'll ever forget a single look of your face, a single word you said. You've done a terrible thing. You opened my eyes and my heart, and you never touched me. Oh, it hurt. Every bit of it hurt. How could it not hurt? It was so beautiful. And if you think I can walk out of this house quietly, that you can smile me away with money and a few new dresses, if you think I can walk out of here without wanting to kill you, without wanting to cut my initials into every day you're going to live, you're crazy. Goodbye and try to forget me.
Hey! Let me look at you. You strange creature. You lovely creature. Let me look at you. Oh, I'm not patronizing you. I'm seeing you. Linda, you're grand. Gosh, if I were only 35 or 40 instead of 51. What do you want of me, Linda?
Nothing.
That's not true.
I know it's not.
What do you want of me, Linda?
I don't know. Everything. Anything.
Where do you live, Linda?
West 10th Street.
Apartment?
Yes.
Are your parents dead? You went to college or something, didn't you?
3 years.
Linda, I know you won't believe it, but you'll get over this.
Will I?
Yes, you will. You're young. The world is full of fascinating people, much more fascinating than I am.
You know that isn't true.
Oh. Am I physically attractive to you?
Yes.
Honey, when you get right down to it, I can't think offhand of a man you know who could make you forget me. I'm a unique combination, and I know myself too well. I've been around too much to deny that I'm charming.
You're wonderful.
I know I am. But Linda, my sweet, I don't love you. I don't love anybody.
I know that. You don't have to tell me.
Well, supposing I did love you. Supposing, for the sake of argument, that I fell in love with you. It'd be worse. Picture of a man of 51. Why, it's like the situation in Old Love. Oh. Linda, get your notebook.
It's right here.
Take this down. Ready?
Ready.
Linda, this is marvelous. Do you realize what you've done for me? Angel, you've saved my play. Why didn't I think of it before? She makes love to him. Get it? How beautifully simple. She makes love to him. It whitewashes the old boy completely. God bless you, Linda. Oh, I'm in love with the play all over again. Aren't you?
I always was.
Take this down. Goodbye. But before I go, I want you to know I love you. Do you remember what you said after that?
I can't remember a thing.
Doesn't matter. I believe you said, the years I've spent with you have been pure torture. Every hour, every second, every day. Period. You've done a terrible thing to me. Period. You opened my eyes and my heart, and you never touched me. Period.
Yes, I said that. That's what I said.
It hurt. Every bit of it hurt. How could it not hurt? It was so lovely.
Beautiful.
Yes, that's it. And if you think I can walk out of here without wanting to kill you, what's the matter? Aren't you writing it down?
Oh, give it to me again.
And I'm a brute. But that shouldn't be news to you.
I'll get it. Hello? Yes, he's here. It's Genevieve Lang.
Linda, dear, do you love this play as much as I do?
More.
Do you think this new scene is going to make a difference?
Yes, I do.
Then give me the phone. Hello, Genevieve. You did? The what? The bridal suite? Oh, well, I'll tell you, Genevieve, I don't know if you'll quite understand. No. Listen, you'll go through the ceiling when you hear this. But on the other hand, it means a wonderful part for you. Yes. 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 Well, all I ask is you let me read you the new scene when it's written. Genevieve, listen. Hello. Hello? Linda.
Yes.
I'm not going to Finland.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. Shall we finish writing the scene?
By all means, my dear. Now, where were we?
Months pass, and during that time, some rather surprising events take place. For one thing, Stephen's play reaches Broadway, and in the cast of players are not only Miss Darling, Dickie Reynolds, and myself, but Linda Brown, Stephen's former secretary, whom he has persuaded to take the role intended for Genevieve Lang. Now, it is a morning in May, and Linda has just entered Stephen's study, where she is greeted by the butler.
Good morning, Miss Linda.
Good morning, Flogdon. Where's Mr. Gay?
He went to your apartment. Didn't you see him?
How long ago?
About a half hour. He tried all night to get you on the telephone.
I know.
And he went to your house twice, but apparently you weren't in.
He nearly broke down the door.
He said he was going to break down the door this morning.
Where did Mr. Gay dine last night?
At home, Miss Linda.
Alone?
Very much alone, Miss Linda. If I may say so, there was an air of melancholy about him, a strange, brooding loneliness. And if you will permit me to quote...
And what did Mr. Gay do all last evening?
He paced madly up and down this room.
Alone?
Alone.
I don't believe a word you say.
I've told you the truth, Miss Linda. And my word of honor is a gentleman's gentleman.
Oh, please, Flogdo, don't be offended. I don't blame you for being loyal to your master. He's been good to you. But as for me, well, I've come for my things.
What things, Miss Linda?
There are 7 photographs of me in this house. I want them. And my knitting and... Oh, yes, this lampshade. I painted it myself, and he never liked it anyway.
Is that all, Miss Linda?
That's all.
Well, I assume the responsibility of refusing to deliver the articles you named.
Then I'll take them.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Gay.
Bogdo.
Yes, sir?
Get out of here.
Very well, Mr. Gay.
What are you doing here, Linda?
I've come for my things.
That's what I expected.
Well, haven't you anything to say for yourself?
Haven't I anything to say for myself? What, for instance?
Well, for instance, goodbye. I don't love you anymore. I hope I never see you again. We agreed, didn't we, to be brutal, to be honest, when the moment came?
Are you crazy?
Of course I'm crazy. Don't pretend you just discovered it. And you're crazy. That's why when a time like this comes, we shouldn't lower ourselves to the level of sanity.
But...
I demand that we keep our hate on the same high mountain where you put our love. Do you know what day yesterday was? It was the 9th of May. 7 months ago yesterday, I was nothing to you. And you were everything to me. You discharged me. I was willing to go. I told you I loved you, but it was an exit speech. I didn't ask for mercy. You pulled me back. You begged me to rehearse in your play. I never wanted to be an actress. Well, I became an actress. Then on the opening night, you said you fell in love with me. And I believed you. We promised each other it would be breathless and magical or nothing at all. You said... The wonder that's in us is our love. And when that wonder goes, let's not live kindly, sweetly, disgustingly with just each other. Did you or did you not say it?
Well, it's rather naively phrased, but I said it.
Did you or did you not mean it?
Of course I meant it.
Well, then how could you yesterday on the 7th monthly anniversary of the day you discharged me, how could you break our date?
Did you read my note?
Of course I read it.
Well, I think it was very clear.
Well, What was clear about it? You walked into my apartment at 6:30.
And I found your young leading man on your bed.
And you left.
Well, what did you expect me to do?
If you had the least bit of poetry in you, you would have waited for me to come out of the shower.
Would you have liked it if you had found me standing there?
I would have loved it.
You would have enjoyed explaining?
Explaining? Well, I should have refused to explain.
Well, that makes everything clear.
Why did you refuse to answer your telephone?
I thought that was covered in my note.
Why did you put the note on Dickie's chest?
Oh, seemed the natural thing to do.
Suppose he woke up and read it before I came out.
Oh, can he read?
Beautifully.
Why did you telephone me if you didn't intend to explain?
I telephoned you for having put me in your show, for having introduced me to the world of the theater which I love.
Then why did you refuse to answer your telephone when I called you at midnight?
Because I decided I had nothing to thank you for. You needed me in your play. I made good, and you got just as much out of the whole miserable mess as I did.
May I ask you a question?
You may.
Why are you angry at me?
I'm not angry at all. This is despair. Because your faith in me is gone and everything's over.
I have all the faith in the world in you. But I know too much about life, about women. You might be an angel straight from heaven. So long as you're young and I'm old, I tell you there's no substitute for youth. Every night in that play, Dickie takes you in his arms. Every night in words that I wrote. His youth calls to you. Every night. And two matinees a week.
You're jealous.
Dying of it.
Well, couldn't you see that Dickie was drunk?
Don't. No matter what you say, it'll be something that I said in a similar situation.
Stephen.
Oh, Linda, Linda.
Stephen, do you love me?
What do you think?
Oh, I think yes. And I love you. I'm tired of asking you to marry me. But we must let the world know we belong to each other. Otherwise, why shouldn't a young man come to see me?
But I want young men to come to see you. The field is free. You don't have to tell me what Dickie was doing in your bedroom. I know nothing happened. All night long, I was telling myself that.
Oh, Stephen, darling, let's never do things like this to each other again, shall we?
Never. Darling.
Yes, dear.
What did he do? Just walk in.
Who?
Dickie Reynolds.
Oh, you angel, haven't I told you about that yet?
Not that I can remember.
Well, he walked in unannounced and very tight. I was surprised. You know Dickie never drinks or smokes. And I couldn't figure out what he came for, because I don't think I've exchanged more than 50 words with the boy during the 6 months we've been in the show. Well, he talked about the traffic, and I talked about the weather, and then suddenly, like a gentleman of the old school, he fell asleep in his chair. Well, it got to be time for me to dress for dinner, so I went in to dress. When I came out from my shower, there on my bed was your note, and under it was Dickie.
Win? Yes, Pongo?
Mr. Dickie Reynolds to see you, sir.
Dickie?
Linda, do you suppose he knows you're here?
Of course not.
Do you want to stay? He might wonder what you're doing here.
Well, you bet I want to stay. And I wish when he comes in you'd say, this is my girl. And what the deuce were you doing in her apartment?
My dear, when you're an old lady and I'm your handsome young sweetheart, on that day, I'll flatter you by branding on your forehead private property. But right now, I'd like you to go.
Go?
Down the back way, so he won't know you're here.
Just as you like, Stephen, but I'll be back.
All right, but not now. Go.
Yes, Stephen.
Goodbye. Loggle, show Mr. Reynolds in.
Hello, Mr. Gay.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Great. Sit down.
Mr. Gay, I know you're wondering why I'm here. Well, I gave Mr. Benham my notice this morning. I thought I'd drop in and tell you so you wouldn't hear it from somebody else.
Is anything the matter, Dickie?
I'm quitting the theater.
Isn't that a rather sudden decision?
Well, I had a chance to buy a ranch in Wyoming. My father left me a little money, and so I bought it.
A ranch? That's one of those places where you get up early in the morning, isn't it?
5 a.m.
You're crazy.
No, you're crazy. Everybody in the theater is crazy. I don't like them. I like good, sincere, two-fisted, straight-from-the-shoulder men. If I hadn't been in a dramatic show at college, I'd never have gotten into such an unhealthy atmosphere. All the men are show-offs, looking in the mirror all the time. And the women are worse.
Tell me about the women, Dickie.
They're unwholesome. I like a woman who falls in love, marries, has kids, and makes a home. Am I right or not?
You're absolutely right.
Sure I'm right.
All the women in the theater care about is getting emotional from 8:30 to 11 every night. And then they've got nothing left to give to the generation of tomorrow.
I didn't know that you were concerned about the generation of tomorrow.
I am.
Well, Dickie, I'm sorry you're going to leave the show. But I'm glad you found yourself before you became a character actor.
So am I. You know, most of us don't find ourselves until it's too late.
Yes, Blanco?
Miss Linda Brown is downstairs, sir. Shall I show her up or ask her to wait?
Linda, how nice. Ask her to come up, will you, Blanco?
Yes, sir.
Well, I guess I'll be going.
No, no, don't go. You and Linda are, friends, aren't you?
Oh, sure.
She's a great girl, and you really get to know her.
She was your secretary once, wasn't she?
Yes, and sometimes I wish I hadn't got her in the show. She's not a bad actress, but she was the best secretary I ever had.
And you'll never find one as good again.
Oh, hello, Linda.
Hello, Stephen. My, you're looking well. Hello, Dickie.
Hello, Linda.
I hope I'm not intruding.
Not at all. Did you hear the news about Dickie? He's leaving the show.
Oh, really?
Yes, isn't it too bad? He's bought a cow ranch.
Well, who are they going to get in his place? I hope they get Oscar Ferroni, don't you? I think he's so romantic.
You mean that bushy-haired fellow who sprawls picturesquely on floors?
Mm-hmm. I think he plays men awfully well. Oh, Dickie, you must tell Mr. Gay about all the fun you had yesterday afternoon in my apartment.
Yesterday afternoon? Oh. Oh, so that's where I was. Oh, gee, Linda, that's terrible. I don't quite know what to say. You see, I never drink, and yesterday I bought the ranch, and, well, the real estate man and I had a couple. Oh, did you have any trouble getting rid of me?
I don't know. I left you there. You might call on my maid and get the rest of the story from her.
Hello? Yes, this is Stephen Gay. Yes? All right. Just a moment. Linda, Dickie, excuse me, it's Benham. I'll take the call in the bedroom.
I think I'll go, Stephen. I can see you another time.
Well, please, I'll be right back. Entertain Dickie like a nice girl.
Thank you for staying.
Why should you thank me for staying?
Linda, listen to me.
Dickie, what's the matter with you?
You. I'm quitting the show on account of you.
Oh?
Now, don't look at me like that. That's the way you've been looking at me for 6 months, as if I was the wallpaper on the wall. Oh, Linda, I didn't buy a ranch yesterday. I had to see you. I couldn't stand it any longer. I took a couple of drinks. Oh, I don't know how many, so I could break through that look of yours.
Oh, Dickie, you poor foolish boy. What have I done to you?
Oh, nothing. I love you so much I can't see straight, that's all. Now, goodbye.
Oh, Dickie, wait. Well, of all things.
Hello? Where's Dickie?
He wanted to go. I didn't stop him.
You didn't mean what you said about Oscar Ferroni, did you?
Stephen, will you marry me?
Will you stick to the subject? What about Ferroni?
Kiss me, Stephen.
You do love me, don't you?
I'd like to see anybody try to stop me.
You make me very happy.
Will you marry me?
I'm weakening.
Oh, darling, darling.
What are you crying about?
Let's do it right away.
All right. You know, I've always wanted to, don't you?
Have you?
I only hesitated because I wasn't really sure that you loved me.
But now you are, aren't you?
Well, somehow, I am. Let's go up to Greenwich tomorrow morning.
It's a date.
Happy?
Blissfully.
You know, if I were writing a play, I'd have Dickie in love with you.
Why?
Well, there's a better reason for leaving a show than a cow ranch. And then I'd hint to the audience either that he's not really going away or that you like him more than you're telling. Then that's how it would be in a play. And this is life. And life never makes sense. Does it?